Making a decision about the care at the end of the life of your pet can be one of the toughest decisions you have to make. Sometimes it's about getting the right care, but sometimes it's about being able to afford that care. And then there's a whole spectrum of choices in between. We are starting a new insight series, which we call Pet Tales, and it will focus on all things surrounding pets, including end-of-life care. So our first guest is a favorite guest, pet expert Gina Spadafore, who has co-authored several books with Dr. Marty Becker. So, Gina, welcome back to Insight. It's appropriate that you're the inaugural.
Yes, thank you very much. Glad to be back.
Loving a pet means making difficult decisions at some point about their health or the end of their life, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And as you know, I've just gone through that myself.
Well, you jumped right in there with it. I was going to ease into it. But let's describe how long you took care of Drew.
Well, my Sheltie Drew died last Wednesday. He was almost 16. He had a really wonderful life. He was a rescue dog. He came into my life when he was 5. A year ago, the veterinarians at the VCA, Sacramento Veterinary Referral, who take care of the police dog Bodie, so they're pretty famous, they diagnosed him with kidney failure, and there wasn't too much they could do for him at that point. So we went into the idea of keeping him very healthy and happy with some medications that would not cure him, but would make him happy and comfortable, and keeping hydrated at home, which was very easy to do with fluids. So he lived, they said, well, he might last a month, maybe two. He lived almost a full year.
Oh.
It was happy to the day he passed.
Gina, can I ask you about the cost of the care?
Well, we're talking about hospice is what we're talking about in Drew's case and in many dogs, and that's a very new idea for pets. It used to be if you couldn't afford to treat or they were very old, you just said goodbye. Well, in recent years, there have been medical advances that they've been able to keep animals healthy and happy. It's not curative, but instead of having them suffer, you can treat them with very simple and very inexpensive things like pain medication, which is not very expensive. There are many very inexpensive pain management options. There might be, as I say, hydration at home, which had me putting an IV, which a little needle between his shoulders. It was very easy. We did that every day. Some animals don't need it as often, but kidneys go when you get older, and you get a little hard time staying hydrated. So for many cats especially, that's a good option. That also might be some orthopedic beds, things of that nature. And what you do is you work with a veterinarian to maintain quality of life. And that's what we did for Drew. And it wasn't very expensive at all. I bet I would guess with all the medications and the fluids, I was probably spending less than $30 a month to maintain him for a year in really good, happy health.
At home the whole time.
At home, yes.
I feel like we should send up a caution here about pain medication and dogs and trying to do it on your own, because it can be dangerous if you don't make the right choices.
That's very true. Now, in cats, you never give an over-the-counter pain medication. And in dogs, you should always talk to your vets. It used to be that we gave aspirin. Veterinarians would give buffered aspirin for dogs. But recent studies have shown that even buffered aspirin can cause ulcers. So whenever, I say generally, and I'm not a veterinarian, but I work with veterinarians all the time, and I seem to play them on the radio sometimes. But with any over-the-counter medication, it's always important to check with your veterinarian to make sure it's appropriate and that you're getting the dosage right.
Timing, Gina, timing of making decisions and knowing when to hold on and when to let go. Sometimes, I guess, the expense makes the decision for you, whether you can go that route or not. But if it's not about cost, what are the guidelines?
Well, you know, I work very closely with veterinarians, and the hospice, I wasn't really planning to become a hospice expert when I did. Mm-hmm. I had been assigned an article for VetStreet.com on this pet hospice movement, and I had interviewed a person in West Virginia who had a Sheltie who she'd been hospiced. Her name is Nancy Hurley. And just after her dog, Savannah, died, I got the diagnosis on my own dog. And thanks to her and the information I had gotten from the veterinarians, I decided to hospice him. So you know, so that was, there was no choice as far as, there was no choice to be made as far as the finances. Now, I also have another dog that I'm hospicing through cancer right now, and that is an expensive treatment, but I do carry pet health insurance, which I was fortunate enough to get long before I ever had to make those decisions. So I'm fortunate that I don't have to make what they call economic euthanasia decisions because of pet health insurance. But I will say that most people do find that they know if they're listening to their pet and listening to what their pet needs, not what their need emotionally, and are not trying to hold on for their own reasons, you will know when a pet is ready to go. You just sort of feel it. People do make their own decisions. And sometimes if you wait, a pet can get better. There's a lot of ups and downs on the road with an old or sick pet. But my own belief has been that I would rather be an hour too early. How'd that work? An hour too early than a day too late. I'd rather be a week early than an hour late. That's what I meant to say.
And do you say that meaning you would like to try to protect the pet
from
excessive suffering?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That an animal doesn't have the idea of the time involved. They're not saying, oh, if I can only live another week. They don't have an idea of the future. So that's what we're doing. So I think when you look and try to put aside your own emotion, which is difficult, of course, and think about what is the best for the pet, you always want to catch that before they deteriorate to a point where they are suffering. Now, with Drew, that was only a matter of a couple of hours before it was time, clearly, and then I was able to let him pass. And a friend of mine, Dr. Kelly Byam at the Able Pet Clinic, she was coming over to ride horses with me that day, and she instead came over and put him down at home. So you have to make sure that you are doing it what's in the best interest of the pet, whether that's ending their life, whether that's putting them in hospice care at home, or whether that's treating them for a cure or any kind of a long, expensive, drawn out. You need to make sure that you're making the decision with the pet first and foremost, and then you can deal with your own emotional fallout later, which is sort of what I've been doing now.
Gina, I want to give you a lot of credit. You've really been remarkable that you are here as a professional today talking about this, and it's so obvious that just at the surface is the love you had for Drew. And I want to give you a deep breath. I just really respect that you were willing to come have the conversation. Loved him.
Because I do write about pets, and I am a pet expert. You know, it's about pets and people and veterinarians all working together. And I think this is an important message to share with people. And that's why I'm here today.
I'm actually just going to grab you a Kleenex, Gina. I thank you so much. You did mention one thing that you said was really helpful to you, and that is that relationship with your vet. So what role does the vet have in helping you make this decision?
Veterinarians never make the decision for you. The decision is always yours. But of course, they are the medical experts, and you will want to work very closely with your veterinarian so they can guide you, tell you what the signs are, tell you what the expectations might be. It's never a bad thing to ask more questions or to ask what the options are. These are the people who know what the options are and what the likely outcomes are. So I work very closely with my veterinarians, not just the veterinarians who I take my pets to, but all the veterinarians I interview constantly. My veterinary contact list is, you know, hundreds of veterinarians long. And I always reach out and make sure that I get expert advice. But the final decision is always the pet owners. And actually, in some ways, I think it is the pets, I think about it.
I thought you were a little bit correct right there.
Yes. So I never leave veterinarians out of the loop in any of the medical decisions. I believe over the years of being a pet expert that working with veterinarians in a team approach is the best way to go.
Can I ask you a question that I feel real ignorant about having dogs, but I always wonder if I'm really going to understand their pain, if I'm going to be able to see in them how they're experiencing pain?
That is a wonderful question. Cats are a little harder because cats will often hide their signs of pain. They'll be like hiding, or they might be a little unhappy. They don't want to be touched in certain areas. Dogs, I think, are more like, in my family, and I'm, of course, Italian, we have what we call it big Italian baby men. They're very strong, tough men, but when they hurt, you know it. And I think dogs are like that. Dogs can be very obvious with their pain. It might be that they're panting heavily is a way of coping with that. They might refuse food. They are hard to get up in the morning with the older pets with arthritis, yes. Which, by the way, is very treatable these days with some good new pain management techniques your vet can talk to you about. They might withdraw, or they might actually be more clingy. These are the things that you look for with the dogs in pain. And when you know your dog very well, and I can tell, Beth, that you do too.
Yeah, I feel like I look in their face for the answer.
Yes, yes. Some squinting sometimes, yeah. You can see that as well. When you know your dog very well and your cat very well, you can tell when they're just sort of off. Mm-hmm. And that may be a pain management thing. And when I started writing about pets, we're not saying how long ago, but about 25 years, to be honest with you. We didn't have these pain management options for arthritis in older pets. And now we do have some wonderful non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, NSAIDs, that your vet can prescribe that can really extend and improve life for older pets.
One last thing, you did mention pet insurance. Is that something, again, that a pet owner talks to their vet about?
You can talk to your veterinarian. You can also do a Google search for some comparison sites on the web. There are more choices, again, in pet health insurance than there ever have been. Find the policy that's right for you, for your pet, for what your pet is likely to get. I really can't recommend it enough. Pet health insurance is the reason my retriever, Mackenzie, is alive. Because cancer treatment is very good these days, but it's very expensive.
It's thousands. The insurance has saved you thousands.
The insurance
hasn't it?
Has saved this dog's life, and that is not an exaggeration.
Yeah. Gina, you are such a trooper. I'm so thankful for the conversation today, but I feel really proud for you, because if anybody is out there and has lost an animal, they know exactly where Gina is now in these first couple days afterwards. And
well, I'm here to help. And that's why I came in this morning, because these are important things to discuss. And people need to know their options, because the options have changed over just a decade ago. And you need to get with your veterinarian and discuss what is possible for your pet these days.
Gina, thank you. I can hear the big Facebook thank you out there, too. Gina Spadafori, our author and pet expert on our first installment of Pet Tales. Take care. Links to Gina's work at capradio.org/insight. Up next, a Sacramento effort called Dream, Develop, Do.